Get your ass up here, ding-dong, Sergeant Millsap screamed.
Private Hector Fantawissentong, United Federation Marine Corps, winced at the nickname. He'd hoped that graduating recruit training would leave the name behind, but it had followed him to the fleet like a tenacious leech.
But, Gunny, I'm your damn squad leader, not the Gunny. You belong to me,
Hector sighed. He'd been with the company 13 days, and already he was getting shit upon. This wasn't what he was hoping for from the Corps when he enlisted, but things had had a way of going haywire since he raised his right hand and took his oath.
Coming, Sergeant, he said, hoping that Gunny Yam would forget that he'd told him to guard the chow. Fat chance of that happening, he thought. The company Gunny didn't seem to be the kind of man to forget things like that, but in the Corps, the most recent order received was the one you had to obey.
Hector gave a final glance at the crates of food. That was a week's supply for the company, and if some cracks rushed in and snatched it, he knew every Marine and Navy corpsman would put the blame on him.
Now, ding-dong!
Hector shook his head and jogged forward to where Millsap was setting in the squad.
The Gunny wanted me to guard the chow, Hector said, pointing back to the edge of the LZ where the cases were haphazardly stacked.
Millsap gave the cases a brief look, then, more to himself than to Hector, said,
No, that's his problem. We've got to secure the area. I want you to take your position on the other side of Hopper and tie into second. No cracks get through between us and second. None of the bastards. Zero.
What do I do if they try, Sergeant?
Millsap rolled his eyes and asked,
Weren't you listening to the damn ops order? No lethal force, but you can fire your sonic if you feel threatened.
Hector glanced at his RC-84. He'd never fired the sonic crowd control gun in boot camp or the basic infantry course. He'd never even seen one until it was issued to him just prior to boarding the shuttle for the trip down to the surface. Corporal Tannehoe had given him a 2-minute brief as they waited in the hangar. The gun fired a focused, sonic beam that resonated at a frequency designed to make human skin feel like it was on fire as long as it was on the target. Shift the beam, and the pain immediately disappeared without any actual damage done. It was also a tight beam. If enough people rushed him, it wouldn't be very effective. After his pointed glance at the sonic, Sergeant Millsap seemed to give him a break this time.
You're not on your own, Boot. You just take out the leader, and we'll be there to support you.
He clapped Hector on the shoulder and said,
Go on now, take your position.
Aye, aye, Sergeant. I've got it.
Hector walked down the squad line.
Where'd you disappear to, Boot?
Corporal Tannehoe asked when he spotted him.
Gunny Yam grabbed me.
The corporal shook his head.
You need to learn. Whenever there's work to be done, you need to make yourself scarce, or sure as shit, some SNCO will hijack you.
I'll keep that in mind. Sergeant Millsap said to fall in outside of Lance Corporal Jones.
Hector was still a Boot, and he didn't feel like he'd earned the right to use anyone else's nickname. Or, more specifically, he didn't think the others thought he rated using the names.
Maybe after he got his combat cherry popped, but not now.
On the outside? Tannehoe asked.
Yes, Corporal.
Okay, if that's what he said.
Hector could read the doubt on his team leader's face and in his voice. He didn't want to trust the Boot private on the flank. He wanted to assure Tannehoe that he could handle it, but he figured that might just be taken as bravado. Better to just stay silent and act like it was no big deal. He left the corporal and took a position on the outside of Jones, who just grunted in acknowledgement. Another 15 meters farther to the left was Lance Corporal Babuka, who was the far-right Marine in Second Squad. Hector wasn't sure if tie-in meant to formally make contact with him, so he just gave him a small wave, then turned to face across the park's grass-covered open area to his front. Along the border road, some 40 meters away, cracks were gathered, at least a couple hundred of them. Some were half-heartedly chanting, Marines, go home, while a dozen local cops manned the portable barricades that were supposed to keep the protesters out of the park while the Marines landed. Hector didn't need experience in crowd control to know, though, that if the cracks wanted to rush them, those flimsy barriers wouldn't slow them down.